Hi there, and welcome to Taking Care in Business, a podcast that I created out of my passion for using business as a force for good. It all started for me in 2016 when my company, Bolson Group, was the first in Indiana to become a B Corp certified company. I've been on a mission ever since, learning from others all the different ways that we can be more impactful in making a difference for people and the planet. Whether it's a nonprofit's mission and purpose, a company that has a business model that includes a keen eye on corporate social responsibility, I'm always curious. And I want to share with others so they can grow in their knowledge and identify opportunities for change. You never know who we're going to have on to talk about how they and their organizations are taking care in business. Oh, today we are talking to the youngest entrepreneur and co-founder we've ever had on the podcast. Her name is Drew Jarvis, and she co-founded an eco-friendly period product company. And on top of all that, while they're creating this fantastic company, they're also educating communities, and they even have a give back program. So there's a lot to talk about today about a great organization called Sunny Period. And that's sunny, like the sun, sunnyperiod.com, if you want to follow along. My hope is that by the time we're done talking, that all of you will be inspired, hopeful, and energized, because this is a gal. Hi, Drew.
Hello.
Who got her idea started in high school?
Yes, that is correct. That is very correct.
Talk about, like, and then I know it like reemerged in college. So Can you tell us a little about that trajectory?
Oh, absolutely. So this is, again, period care company. We have a reusable menstrual cup that inserts like a tampon, and it has been at least 4 years in the making. So back in 2018, I was a senior in high school, and I decided to try a menstrual cup myself for the first time. As many people do, I struggled a little bit with particularly insertion, and just like my first experience sitting in the bathroom, putting in a menstrual cup, I was like, basically laughing, like partially crying, trying to figure out how to use this thing. And I started talking to my friends about it, found that a lot of people had similar experiences. And coincidentally, at the same time in my high school during my senior year, there was a flyer I saw in the hallway for a business idea pitch competition. The winner was to get $25,000 to continue working on their idea. And I was like, this is perfect. I've always been one to kind of have some sort of idea or project going on. Like, I can't stay still. And so I began just like drawing in a notebook an idea for some sort of reusable period product, but that inserted like a tampon, because that's like what I was missing. I was like, tampons, like, how can I switch to something sustainable, but still have the ease of use that tampons provide me? And ended up taking that idea to the pitch competition. May of 2018, my senior year of high school, and won the $25,000, which was like, I'd say, the best confidence boost any young entrepreneur could have, like right off the bat. And was a great first win that then sent me into college, where after my freshman year, I decided to reach back out to product engineers that I'd met at Glassboard in Indianapolis and began prototyping.
And then somewhere along the way, you met Cindy.
Yes. So she has a very interesting story as well. In 2018, so around the same time, she was at OU, so the like University of Oklahoma, or Oklahoma University, I should say. I think there's a rivalry between the two or something. Like, I get that right. But she was in college at the time, also doing research and learning about menstrual cups and people's first time use experiences in India, actually. She won a grant to send a team out there. Came back, did a TEDx OU talk for her university based off of her research, and then ended up moving with her partner to Indiana. And that's how we got connected. So in around 2019, 2020, Glassboard, that engineering firm I mentioned, reached out to me and said, hey, you'll never believe there's another young woman trying to make a menstrual cup in Indianapolis. And they connected us. And like from there, like the rest is history. We decided we have to be doing this together. We're both so new at this, first-time entrepreneurs, and had very aligned values with like the education pieces and the give back pieces that you mentioned.
It's unbelievable. Okay, so then we're getting the whole like history here.
Yeah.
The next thing, the BuzzFeed article. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what happened?
So there's like a big chunk of time between that and the BuzzFeed article. But high level overview, Cindy and I spent the next several years prototyping. So I like tested several hundred really bad prototypes personally, which was a very interesting experience in itself, until we finally came to the final design. We had a plan to this pristine plan to manufacture and launch a Kickstarter this year. And like, we had this whole launch plan for this like beautiful prototype we had made. And that did not work out that way, because in April of 2022, we had a TikTok go viral very unexpectedly. It was a very low quality video of me outside in my winter coat, like doing a demonstration of the Sunny Cup and applicator. And it randomly blew up one day. I was sitting in class. So it was my senior year of college now. So 4 years later, I was sitting in class and got a text and was like, oh my God, we're at like a couple hundred thousand views on TikTok, which was like way bigger than anything else I've ever done.
I just got cold chills.
It was it was like shocking. I was like sitting there. I think it was, I don't even know what class it was, something that I couldn't pay attention to because I was like freaking out. And I was like, I got to go like check this out. And overnight, my job became to be essentially like a TikTok content creator, which I never expected. And from there, like within the next couple of months, we started getting some press. So that's when someone from BuzzFeed reached out to us. And like, we had someone from Upworthy, Femstella, and a couple other publications want to cover the virality of Sunny on TikTok. And little did any of them know, I almost didn't post that video because I didn't think it was good enough. Like, I didn't think it was high quality. It was like starting to get dark. The sound was bad. Like, I was like wearing this weird outfit. And I decided, whatever. Like, our TikTok had like a couple hundred followers at that point. I was like, sure, just go ahead and post it. It won't make a difference. And we couldn't figure out like why that was the one that blew up. And we realized it was because that was the first time we actually ever posted a video of us showing how to use it, like how to use the Sunny Cup and applicator. And it was kind of this moment that we all realized, like, we've done the right thing. Like, we spent 4 years to create a product that was so intuitive for people that as soon as they saw it, they were like, I want to buy it. And within 24 hours, I figured out how to like launch a landing page on our website and like create orders. And we've been doing pre-orders ever since.
Okay, so you've been doing pre-orders ever since. And I like, what happens from here? So how do you fulfill the pre-orders? When do they go out? Like, because I'm sure people are going to have the same reaction when they hear about this, you know, product. They're going to say, what do we do? Like, how do I get it?
Yeah, we say that we are building the plane as it's taking off, and we hope it flies. Because we had this plan to build this plane, you know, a year out from when we were going to launch orders. But now really, like, people were so excited to pre-order so early on that we were like, all right, well, stick with us. Like, we'll give you updates on manufacturing and yada, 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 like checking all these boxes. And so far, so good. We're shipping pre-orders anticipated at the end of this year. So that's been the deadline we've been giving people since April, and like so far on track. But it's been interesting, and our small team has grown. We've added two more full-time hires, a part-time hire. My little brother interns for us. Jackson actually started interning with us. So it's been an interesting expansion of the team and getting timelines on track.
So when the pre-orders, is that what is financing the production, or have you been in touch with VCs? Like, how are you funded right now?
Yeah, so a good chunk of it is the pre-orders. That was actually, it's like what is directly funding the manufacturing and like the production of the pre-orders themselves. But we also ended up getting VC funding. So very great timing. We were in the middle of a funding round actually when this happened. We weren't getting as many bites as we want. It's very challenging to be a young woman in the period care space because we were pitching to a bunch of older guys and people that don't have periods who were very uninterested in hearing what we had to say. And as soon as we could go to them and say, hey, well, here are all these followers we've gotten, here are all the pre-orders we've gotten, do you want to fund us now? It's like the narrative's changed a little bit. And we actually got to be the ones that were a little bit picky on who we ended up going with. But one of our main funders, Atento, actually moved our team out to Tulsa, which seems very random, but it's kind of like this cute up and coming city in Oklahoma of all places, which is an interesting story in itself. But yeah, so our team's out here now. They set us up with an office, helped our partners get jobs too. Like very interesting, very helpful. And yeah, funded by VCs, also funded by the pre-order sales.
So partners, that's a great segue. You have what looks to be an amazing partnership with period.org.
Yes. Yes.
How did you get hooked up with them and what is going on there?
So they were actually one of the most exciting milestones that we had in the beginning. Like they believed in us when we just had a couple hundred followers and were willing to partner with us really early on. And at that point, all we could provide them was, hey, if anyone buys our end period poverty merch, like we'll give you 20% of the proceeds. And they were happy enough to do that. But they are a really awesome nonprofit who donates period products to people who experience period poverty. They do a lot of other outreach. And for anyone listening who doesn't know what period poverty is, it is the lack of access to affordable and accessible period care and education. So people who may not go to school because they don't have period products or go to work because they don't have period products. And that is not just a problem in, you know, developing countries. That's a problem here in the United States as well. Mm-hmm. So we knew that that was a part of our mission from day one, was to partner with a nonprofit and to even one day have our own internal initiatives and hopefully become a B Corp one day, as you all are. But yeah, they've been very supportive. Now we have like a give back button on our website and are getting a lot of donations to them through that. And as we build out and actually launch product, like officially, not just pre-orders, we're going to expand our give back program with them and our partnership with them to actually donate physical period products in addition to money.
Yeah, I'm so glad you explained what period poverty is. It's pretty amazing. I mean, Bolson Group has a couple of clients in the, you know, homelessness or food insecurity mm-hmm. space. And oftentimes those things go hand in hand with, you know, period poverty, which is a term that doesn't just come up in random conversation, but it's so important and it's so huge. And, mm-hmm. Period.org has been an organization that I've thought highly of before. And when mm-hmm. I heard that you had partnered with them, I'm like, of course, like, like they're just doing everything totally right.
We're trying. We're learning as we go, but they've been super, super supportive.
Yeah, that's really great. And then, okay, you're sustainable. So I want to hear mm-hmm. about how it is that the product is sustainable. Like mm-hmm. when you manufactured or created and envisioned it, was it always that's what you had in mind from the start, or did it evolve into that?
It was always there from the beginning, because the reason I switched to a menstrual cup, there were a lot of reasons. Like they're easier to use, or not necessarily easier to use like originally, but you can kind of forget about them when they're in. There's a lot of great benefits, but sustainability was one of the most exciting ones to me in the beginning. But 12 billion pads and 7 billion tampons go into landfills every single year. And when I learned that, I was like, okay, I don't want to be a part of that, because people use hundreds of tampons and pads every single year, which can equate to up to 14,000 in one person's lifetime. So like in my life, if I continue to use disposable products, I'm contributing 14,000 tampons and pads into landfills. So I knew I wanted to create something that was reusable, which menstrual cups already are, but then there's that usability piece, that ease of use piece that I wanted to include in the Sunny Cup and applicator. And that's what we did. So you can reuse it for up to a year. So like one Sunny Cup equals about 528 tampons that you're saving.
It's unbelievable. So you can use it for a year. That's what I was going to ask, was like, how often do you suggest that people, replace it? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then there's a give back to buying the product as well, which is super cool.
So right now that is that like that give back to period.org, that like donation button. That is a part of like the checkout process. But like I said, in the future is when we actually want to physically donate product. And we're looking into doing like a buy one, give one model or some sort of like percent give back program for each purchase, which we're still building out, but definitely like big goals in mind for continued give back and donations.
And I saw when I was scrolling through, actually, I didn't see it. One of my team members was like, oh my gosh, I remember when I was a young girl and my mom put this book on my bed and it was, some your body and you or something. I maybe you remember the book, one of you, Lacey, even. I remember the book. I can't think of the title right now. I see it with these like little girl bodies and different.
Is it like the American Girl doll? Like
I think
book?
It is. And it's like something, your body's in there. And then, and you.
I swear I had the same book. I think I know what you're talking about. It might be the American Girl doll one, but I also had an aunt who loved giving me all the puberty books. And I think I had all of them. I think that was one of them.
It's called The Care and Keeping of You. It's an
American Girl
book.
Yes, that's it. Care and Keeping of You. Yes. Well, I did not, I don't think, give that to my girls because I've always been like a real talker. You know, like talk about things, we're going to sit down, you know, and it's worked well in my house. But, the stories that my team were sharing about, like, my mom just put it on my pillow, but we never had a conversation, you know, or whatever. And so I'm imagining, and I haven't seen the book yet, so I can't tell me about Cindy's book and how that came to pass and like exactly its approach. You know,
Oh my gosh. I wish she was here to talk about it, but I also could talk about it all day long because I think it's amazing. But yes, that American Girl doll book that you were talking about, that puberty book that I swear everyone on the face of this earth, like between like 1990 and like 2005, had this book that they probably got when they were 11 or 12, me included. And so did Cindy. It would just like didn't quite cut it. It was very textbook like. It certainly wasn't inclusive in its language, and like including people beyond just girls. And that is why Cindy set out to create June and the Menstrual Mates, which a young menstruator's journey and guidebook. And it is essentially this super adorable graphic novel that is in story form about a young person getting her first period for the first time. And it's like fantasy driven. So there's like all these, what are they called? The Menstrual Mates, essentially, this like team, this band of like superheroes, spiritual people, whatever you want to call them, who teach her things about body positivity and her period. And she has like a non-binary friend in the story. And it's just, it's very inclusive. It talks about periods in a very medically accurate way, but also in an age-appropriate way that is still fun. We've had, I don't know if you're familiar with Mama Dr. Jones. She's one of my favorite YouTubers, and OBGYN. She's like an influencer also. And we sent one to her, just kind of like cold, sent it to her PO box. And she posted pictures of her reading it with her children, her like young girls. And was like, this
target
is awesome.
Market perfectly.
Yeah,
that's
like, it's really an incredible tool that I wish more people had. And most people don't start talking to their kids about periods and puberty until early teens, like late preteens. But most people actually recommend, like most pediatricians recommend like 8 years old at the latest, because I got my period when I was 10. Like some people don't even get that conversation until 13.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. It's interesting, the wide range of age. I mean, mm-hmm. even within a family, when you think it's a genetic thing, because mm-hmm. even in our family, between like, you know, what I know about my, you know, parents and then my kids, mm-hmm. grandparents, you know, it's just all over the place. So you need to have them prepared. So it is true, I think, to start that conversation a little earlier. Well, that sounds like a much better updated book.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm sure the other book works still too.
Yeah.
But people should know that book's available on, you can go to your website and just mm-hmm. click right through and buy it, right?
Yeah, June and the Menstrual Mates. It's also on Amazon.
Okay. The last thing I want to make sure we talk about is some of the, I guess I'd call it, I don't know, advocacy work that you guys are doing with, you know, getting menstruator in the dictionary and your work with transgender. tell us about that too. I love this.
Yeah. So this is great timing. We actually just launched a campaign this past Monday, so not too long ago, to degender menstruation. And essentially, we are calling for two things: for big box retailers like Walmart, CVS, Target, whomever, to change their labeling from feminine hygiene and like feminine care aisles to period care aisles, period products, because that gendered language can be really harmful for the trans and non-binary community and just not inclusive. The second thing is to get the word menstruator in the dictionary. So menstruator just means someone who has a period. It's an adjective. It's a descriptor word. The way like you could be called like a marketer or a mother or maybe an activist. It's a descriptor word, and it encompasses anyone who has a period and is a much more inclusive way to talk about people with periods. So those are two things we're trying to do. We have a campaign petition on change.org, which is all over social media if anyone's interested in signing to help with those initiatives. And we are partnering with transgender and non-binary influencers to help share their stories on gender dysphoria. So gender dysphoria being like discomfort or feelings of like unsafety or distress due to a discussion or topic around gender. And the very gendered language around periods can cause that for a lot of people in the trans and non-binary communities.
It's brilliant. Well, brilliant.
That's why we started this in the first place. Like the period product, the sunny cup and applicator is one thing, but the rest of this is like what we have in our hearts.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, you guys have really like hit all the topics of interest and like that people are concerned about. And, you know, one issue, I guess that I just thought of that I'm like, huh, what about with the new abortion laws? Like what are you doing in that space? And what is your reaction to that?
Yeah, so that has been really tough on our team, personally and professionally. I mean, as a business in the reproductive healthcare space, we immediately had people turning to us looking for information. And like, mm-hmm. we kind of expected that to some degree, but for some period care companies, like they're truly just selling a period product. But because we choose to be an educational platform and like a safe open space to start discussions, we had so many people DMing us and commenting us and sharing our resources when Roe v. Wade was overturned. Yeah. And we just, you know, try to do what we can. It's really scary for everybody. And from a small business level, like the legal implications, like we just don't necessarily have the same legal resources that major corporations do. So we're really just doing what we can. We had a smaller campaign back in June and beginning of July where we donated $1,500 to the Abortion Care Network and try to raise funds through social media. And that's part of what we did. But we also have resources on our page for anyone who needs them.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
So this is just kind of a personal question before we sign off, but I want to know how the Tulsa move is going. So they literally moved you there.
Yes.
And that's you and Cindy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cindy and I.
Okay. Yep. Wow.
Yes.
And I, your dad had showed me a picture or told me, I can't remember, like you have like a whole warehouse or something that came with it, right?
We have a big office space and then we have our like warehouses, manufacturers in other states actually, but the move to Tulsa has been really good. They've been, Atento is who invested in us and they've been really, really helpful. We were curious about Oklahoma, very nervous to move here actually, especially like we had made the decision before Roe v. Wade was overturned. And then knowing that we had been locked into that was pretty scary. But Tulsa feels like a little safe space in a way. And the people that we're surrounded by, like Atento in particular, like they really, really are on the right side of history. And so we feel good because, I mean, the coastal cities like California and New York, like there are plenty of people there, you know, fighting for this, but I don't know how many people are here fighting for this. So I'm proud to be here.
You've got your community.
You've
got community. Okay, good. Well, listen, we got a lot in because I was on a fast track to talk to you about all this stuff. Is there anything that I missed that you really want to, you know, say and tell our listeners about Sunny Period?
I don't think so. I think we really covered a lot of it. I would just say, like, I mean, everything we just talked about, we're constantly talking about on our social media, which is just at Sunny Period and on our website. So if anyone's interested about any of this or has any questions, like, send them our way. But yeah, we're always down to talk about periods and reproductive rights and yeah, period poverty. So we're here. We're here.
Hey, exactly. Like, we shouldn't be afraid to talk about it. And we aren't. Look at what we're talking about today, people. Yep. I wonder how, I hope there's some men still listening. That's all I have to say.
We've converted a few people to, like, being true advocates, true supporters. So I'm sure there's a few here today.
I mean, any woman who would have a man, a dad or a brother or a partner, you know, come to them and say, here is a gift for you. Like, that right? That would be meaningful to me.
Oh yeah. When I see people on our social media, they're like, I'm buying this for my wife or like my daughter. I'm like, this is what we're trying to do. Like, we're trying to open this conversation to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just brilliant for women around the whole world or for menstruators throughout the world.
Yes. All the above.
Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. You know,
Taking Care in Business today. I really think, what a story. Like, so incredibly impressed by you. Like,
thank you. This just so fun.
I literally, and tell Cindy, feel the same way. You two have got this thing covered. And for everybody out there, it's Sunny, like the sun, sunnyperiod.com. Yes. If you want to go check them out, see what they're doing in the education, advocacy, give back, retail, all things, all the things. And definitely follow them on Instagram is the only one I've been to so far. And they're sunnyperiod and period.org. Their pages are full of information.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Full of all kinds of really
period.org is a great one.
Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you. This has been so fun.
Thank you for joining us today on Taking Care in Business. Don't forget to subscribe, follow, or download Taking Care in Business wherever you get your podcasts. Or you can always follow along with us by subscribing at takingcareinbusiness.com. We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Taking Care in Biz. That's Taking Care in Biz, B-I-Z. If you have questions or comments, you can also email us at info@takingcareinbusiness.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for joining us today. And until next time, take care in business.